All right, we're going to go and open up scripture. We're going to go to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. And today what we're going to talk about, last week we talked about what family does for each other. We call out the best in one another. We love each other through the worst. What we're going to talk about today are what are the barriers to connection? What are the barriers to develop intimacy in our family? And we can find something amazing here in James chapter 5, verse 16. And so I'm going to read from the NIV first and then from the Message after because I like that version. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the Message version says this, make this your common practice. Everyone say common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Lord, that today you're going to remove every barrier to connection. You're going to remove every hindrance to family and relationship. I thank you today, Lord. You're going to teach us what it means to live out this scripture that Paul said, confess your sins to one another. And we're going to see exactly what that means and how that plays out in family. We love you. We pray every heart is open. I pray every foolishness from my tongue would be forgotten, but that the words of God would be remembered and cut straight to the core of the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've been on this binge watching. You know, I talked about it last week. Brené Brown has this amazing TED Talk called The Power of Vulnerability, and I think I've watched it at least 20 times now. I'm just so inspired by what she shared. She did this in 2010, and this is amongst the top 5 watched TED Talks on YouTube. And so in this TED Talk, she shares about her research, and in her research, she did a 6-year study on vulnerability and shame. How many of you guys have seen this TED Talk? The Power of Vulnerability. And so a lot of my message is inspired by this TED Talk, and I've just been on this. It's so powerful. She did a 6-year study on vulnerability and shame. And did you know, actually, when she started the study, she wasn't a believer, but when she finished, after 6 years, she became a Christian. So that's powerful, right? She did the 6-year study. She interviewed thousands of participants, and what she found was that the basic drive, the basic desire of every human being is that they long for connection. They long to love, to be loved, and to belong somewhere. And remember, I shared this quote last week by Brené Brown. She says, we are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to love, to be loved, and to belong. When those needs are not met, we don't function as we were meant to. We break, we fall apart, we numb, we ache, we hurt others, we get sick. What am I saying? Every one of you, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you like to hang out with people or not, every single one of us, every human being is designed, we're wired to be in connection and relationship with others, right? That's what we talked about last week. Human beings are wired for connection. Without connection, without belonging, we fall apart. See, we all have an internal drive to connect and to belong. And to illustrate my sermon today, I made these graphics with memes. And so this is the first one. See, this is you, and this is a family. And you long to belong to a family. You guys understand that, right? Very simple. Okay, we all are desired, we're wired to want to belong to a family. You know, a lot of you guys know when I was a little kid, I was a loner. In kindergarten, I didn't have any friends. During recess, I would just run to one of my female teachers named Mrs. Karen. And I would spend the whole recess, all of my free time, just going to her and just kissing her hand. All recess. That's all I would do. Even though I didn't have any friends, there was this desire in me for connection. And then I remember in first grade, I still didn't have any friends. But there was one Indian kid. You know, he used to wear this turban. He used to sit down. And we never said a word to each other. But I would find him during recess. We'd sit down. And we just start singing, it's a small world after all. We just sing that. We never planned it. I don't even know his name. I have never heard him speak. All I know is I've heard him sing, it's a small world after all. See, we all, whether you have many friends or little friends, a lot of connection in your life or little, we're all wired to desire connection, family, and belonging. You see, the Bible affirms this in the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love others as yourself. It's this call to love God and to love each other. We're called to do life in relationship with God and relationship with others. But here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about barriers to connection. Because I think we all know that connection, community, family, intimacy, belonging, those are all good things. But how many of you guys have been in a season where you feel like it's hard to connect? Or it's hard to be part of a family or feel like you belong? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. You see, the greatest enemy to connection, Brené talks about in her TED Talk, the greatest enemy to connection is shame. We're going to talk about that. You see, the thing that keeps us from connection, from feeling like we belong, is shame. And this is how Brené Brown defines shame. She says this: shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. You see, sometimes we wear a mask and say, I don't really want connection, I don't really need it. But deep down inside, every reason for disconnection, the root of it is shame. It's this internal knowing that I'm not worthy of love. I illustrated this in a meme. The second meme is this. You see, shame is the barrier to connection, to family, and belonging. If you're having trouble connecting, chances are that you are struggling with shame. You see, shame is the fear of disconnection. You can take that off. It's the fear that something we've done or failed to do, an ideal that we've not lived up to, or a goal that we have not achieved, makes us unworthy of connection. The truth is, every single one of us experiences shame to varying degrees. You might be saying, this message isn't for me. Every single human experiences shame. The only people actually, scientifically, the only people that never experience shame are those who have no capacity for empathy. And so if you've experienced shame, that's a good thing. It means that you have the capacity to empathize with people. See, every one of us have experienced shame. And this is the root of shame. The root of shame is that I am not enough. Have you ever said to yourself, I am not blank enough? I am not strong enough. I am not pretty enough. I am not smart enough. I am not disciplined enough. The root of shame is this idea that we are not enough. And in Brené Brown's 6-year study, she found that shame is categorized into these 12 different categories, if you put that up. Most people feel shame with appearance and body image, money and work, motherhood, fatherhood, family, parenting, mental and physical health, addiction, sex, aging, religion, surviving trauma, being stereotyped, or labeled. I want you to look at this list. Have you ever identified and felt shame in any of these areas? I could tell you, I've felt shame in many of these categories. One in particular, I remember when I used to do martial arts, I was a little more heavier set than the rest of the kids. And I remember I would show up to martial arts class and there'd be these, you know, you guys know Jason Won? You know, he has the body of a god, right? When he shows up somewhere, he has the body of a god. And I remember I used to show up to martial arts and I would feel so insecure because I had this little pooch and I can't kick as high because of this pooch. You know, even as a kid, we understand what shame is, this idea that I am not enough. I am not strong enough. I am not beautiful enough. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? And so these are the categories that Brené Brown has compartmentalized shame into. Take that away. And I just want to give you some of the examples. She interviewed thousands of participants, and these are some of the answers that were given after she asked, what are some examples of shame that you've experienced? I want you to just listen to some of these. These are real case studies. Shame is getting laid off and having to tell my pregnant wife. Shame is having someone ask me, when are you due, when I'm not pregnant. Shame is hiding the fact that I'm in recovery from substance abuse. Shame is raging at my students when they didn't deserve it. Shame is bankruptcy. Shame is feeling like I'm failing at my marriage. Shame is my boss calling me an idiot in front of the client. Shame is not feeling like I read my Bible or pray enough. Shame is my husband leaving me for my next door neighbor. Shame is my wife asking me for a divorce and telling me that she wants children, but not with me. Shame is my DUI. Shame is infertility. Shame is asking someone out and them declining. Shame is wondering why I'm not married yet. Shame is internet porn. Shame is flunking out of school twice. Shame is hearing my parents fight through the walls and wondering if I'm the only one who feels this afraid. Listen, even some of these, some of you resonate with. We've all gone through this idea that something about me, something that I'm experiencing, makes me unworthy of love and belonging. You see, the result of shame is the belief that I'm unworthy of connection. I'm unworthy of love. Because I am not blank enough, I am unworthy of love. And this is the reason why shame is so dangerous. Because shame, it attaches to identity. And Brené Brown said something very prolific. She said, guilt says I did something bad, but shame says I am bad. She also said, guilt says I did something wrong, but shame says I am something wrong. You see, guilt could have positive outcomes. Guilt could be a good thing. You should feel guilty when you mess up and make a mistake, but shame is directly attached to your identity. Guilt says I did something wrong. Shame says I am something wrong. And I believe God wants to break that off of us today. You know, I remember when I was a freshman at UC Davis, and a lot of y'all knew me in my UC Davis days. When I was a freshman, I didn't party, I didn't drink, but for some reason, I never went to class. And I used to blame allergies, because I had such bad allergies, and I used to blame that. During springtime in UC Davis, they have something called yellow smoke or yellow cloud, where the wind blows against the trees, and a cloud of yellow pollen comes off, and it looks like smoke. I used to blame that, but I remember for the last two quarters of my freshman year, the second quarter, I only went to half of my midterms and finals, and then the last quarter, I went to none of my midterms and finals. And I don't know what in my thinking made me think that that would be okay and the school would let me stay, but I got a pretty bad GPA that freshman year. And I remember after that academic year, I was in Kazakhstan on a mission trip, and it was for 30 days. And on day 28, I checked my email when we finally got internet, and I got a message from UC Davis, and they basically said, your GPA is horrendous, and you are kicked out of school. And so I got kicked out of my university. The problem was, because I was on a mission trip, I couldn't raise my GPA through summer school, and so I actually had to wait a whole year to go back to summer school and raise my GPA and get back into UC Davis. And that was the darkest years of my life, shared with Christopher Huang. We had no purpose. We were aimless. We were in the dark. But I remember I felt such shame that I felt like I failed my parents because they were paying my tuition. And so actually, I realized that what it did is I felt such shame that I actually disconnected myself from them further. Whenever they called, I never picked up. Whenever they asked me to come home, I said, I'm busy. And I felt this disconnection come up, and I realized it's because shame. You see, guilt would have said that, Mickey, you're a bad, guilt would say that, Mickey, you did some stupid things. You should have gone to midterms. You should have gone to finals. You should have gone to class. But shame says, I'm a bad son. You see the difference? You see, shame says I'm disqualified from love and belonging because I am not enough. And we see shame's effect play out in church. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? How many times do we isolate ourselves from others when we go through a difficult season, right? In the church, how many guys have isolated yourself when you go through a difficult season? Or how many times do we stay home from church when we knew we sinned the night before? You just don't feel like you could show your face. You see, shame tells us a lie. If people knew this thing about me, they wouldn't want me. Shame says if people knew what kind of circumstance I was in, they'd look down on me. Shame says if people knew that I thought this way, that they would love me a little less. You know, I think it was either Pastor Sam Song from Solomon's Porch or PB. I forgot who told the story, but when they were doing youth ministry, there was always this one kid. And they said they knew this one kid, they knew when he sinned really bad on the weekend, because when he would come to church, he'd come dressed up in a really nice suit. And he'd do his hair, he'd look all nice, and he knew that if he came like that, that he actually sinned the day before. And sure, every time that he called him out on it, it was absolutely true. You see, we have this idea that if people knew this part about my life, we have to mask it, we have to keep people far away, because if people knew, then I wouldn't be fully accepted. I wouldn't fully belong. You see, whatever a culture values, we're deathly afraid that we are, in fact, the opposite. And so, for example, church values reading scripture and praying, right? We value that at church, right? And so we feel shame when we don't read enough. We feel like, I don't read enough and I don't pray enough. And so I feel shame and I don't want people to get close enough to see that that's true. You know, one of my biggest insecurities before getting married is that Krista would see my spiritual walk and just laugh. And one of my biggest insecurities was that when she got close enough to really see what my life is about, that she wouldn't want me or she wouldn't respect me or love me the same way. You see, that's the power of shame. Another example, church values being holy, right? You have to be holy and sanctified. And so when you mess up, when you make a mistake, you feel like, oh my God, I don't want people to see that part of my life. This is what shame does. Another example, we here at Living Hope value prophecy, right? We love giving the prophetic word. That's what we did with Samantha and Nara. You know, I remember when I first came to Living Hope, you know, PB and PS, they'd be prophesying, they'd be preaching. And there was a handful of us that went to Ethiopia with them. And every night for service, Pastor Sunny would come around and she'd try to look us in our eyes. But all of us, we deflected our gaze from her. Because we knew if she made connection with her eyes, she would ask us to preach or prophesy. And so I remember she'd come around, and we knew it was that time for her to choose who's going to preach that night, who's going to prophesy that night. And so all of us would just look away. But I remember feeling this immense pressure when I came to Living Hope. Like, I feel a little bit ashamed that I can't prophesy like they do. I can't minister or preach like they do. That's what shame does. It separates us from community. It separates us from family. You know, I never had an amazing relationship with my dad. In fact, I had a very fragmented relationship with my father growing up. And I remember one thing I kept hearing in church was that, you know, you're going to grow up to be just like your dad. That's kind of like the value in Christian church and Christian family, is that you're going to grow up to be just like your dad. And actually, I remember my parents would even say, you know, you have to make sure that you give us a good rapport, because at least in the Korean culture, like, when you look at someone, you'll see what they're going to be like by looking at their parents. And so I remember there's this value that, you know, you're going to be like your dad. But I didn't want to be like my dad, I remember. And so I never talked about my dad. I never let people into my heart, into that part that says, actually, I've been hurt by my dad. Actually, I despise my dad right now. Actually, I don't want to be anything like my dad. You see, whatever your culture values, you fear that you're the opposite. This is the power of shame. But we're going to get into some good stuff. Everyone say, but there is a remedy. There is a cure. In Brené Brown's study, she found that the key to overcoming shame is vulnerability. Everyone say vulnerability. And this is how she defines vulnerability. She says, vulnerability is the willingness to show up and be seen. Vulnerability is the willingness to show up and be seen, meaning those parts of you, the parts of your life, the parts of your thinking and your circumstances that you feel like would actually have people reject you are the very things that bring you closer to people. It is uncertainty, it's risk, and it's emotional exposure. Vulnerability is allowing people to see every part of who you are, from your thoughts to your feelings to your mistakes to your struggles to your circumstances. Vulnerability is nakedness. Now, I don't know about you, but I love being naked at home. But when you're naked in a public place, it's something you don't want to be, right? It's uncomfortable. Koreans know this very well. We have this thing in Korea called jimjilbang, and it's basically a Korean steam bathhouse. And what you have to do is you have to take off all your clothes, and then you go into this area, and it's separated, guys and girls, don't worry. And so you go into this area where every single person is naked. And I remember the first time that I went into jimjilbang, I walked in, and I was walking in. I remember, you guys know Jason, when I told you he has the body of God. He walked in first, and I remember when he walked in, all the Korean people bathing were just like, he just has the body of a god. But I remember when I walked in, and eyes were on me, I felt like eyes were on me. No eyes were on me. You know, I don't have the body of a god. But I remember feeling like, oh my God, they could see every part of my body, every imperfection. You know, being naked is extremely uncomfortable, but actually vulnerability is nakedness. It's uncomfortable, but it's actually the key to overcoming shame. You see, vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. Without vulnerability, you can't experience these things to the full. See, what happens when we experience shame is we close ourselves off to everything. We close ourselves off so that we don't feel pain. But actually, the same thing that closes us off from shame and pain closes us off from the good things as well. And so when we close ourselves off from pain, we also close ourselves off from love and intimacy, creativity, belonging. You see, the biggest lie surrounding vulnerability is that it equals weakness. We've been trained to believe that vulnerability equals weakness. You know, if you saw me up here flailing around naked, you say, what's wrong with him, first of all? But it doesn't seem like a sign of strength. But it, in fact, is. Brene Brown, she... I don't know why I said it like that. It's kind of like... Brene Brown, she gathered examples when she asked, what is vulnerability to you, to those thousands of participants? And these are some of the answers. I want you to listen to them, okay? Vulnerability is sharing an unpopular opinion. Vulnerability is standing up for myself. It's asking for help. It's saying no. Vulnerability is starting my own business. Vulnerability is initiating sex with my husband, with my wife. It's calling a friend whose child just died. It's the first date after my divorce. It's saying I love you first and not knowing if I'm going to be loved back. It's sharing a song that I wrote. It's getting promoted and not knowing if I'm going to succeed. Vulnerability is getting fired. It's falling in love, trying something new. Vulnerability is admitting I have an addiction to pornography. It's getting pregnant after 3 miscarriages. Vulnerability is waiting for the biopsy to come back. Vulnerability is exercising in public, especially when I don't know what I'm doing and I'm out of shape. Lord knows that's true for me. Vulnerability is signing up for a dating app or a service. It's admitting I'm afraid. It's presenting my product to the world and getting no response. Vulnerability is asking for forgiveness. Vulnerability is having faith. Now I want to ask you, hearing all these, do any of these sound like weaknesses to you? No. These are strengths. And I want to put up this quote. She says, yes, we are totally exposed when we are vulnerable. Yes, we're in the torture chamber that we call uncertainty. And yes, we're taking a huge emotional risk when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. But there's no equation. We're taking risks, braving uncertainty, and opening ourselves up to emotional exposure equal weakness. Vulnerability is, in fact, one of the greatest expressions of strength and courage that you could ever have. You see, we often want to experience the vulnerability in others, but we shy away from being vulnerable ourselves. And so we always say, I'll be an ear for you. I'll just share anything that you're going through. Share your weaknesses with me. It's okay. It's actually strength. But when we talk about sharing our own vulnerabilities, we feel like it's weakness. See, vulnerability seems like courage in you, but inadequacy in me. Vulnerability seems like strength in you, but weakness in me. I'm drawn to your vulnerability, but I'm repelled by mine. But what I believe that the Lord is telling us today is that when we tap into being vulnerable ourselves, we are tapping into the very thing that makes us strong as a family, strong as a community, strong in belonging. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 says, but he said to me, this is Paul speaking to the church, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul, he was the figurehead for Christianity. If anyone had any reason not to share the weaknesses, it would be Paul. Because Paul had such a major circle of influence, but even Paul in his place of leadership saw the strength in being vulnerable, in sharing his weakness. In fact, he boasts in his weaknesses. He's proud of his weaknesses. Why? Because it's in that place where you admit your shortcoming, where you admit your weakness, that you tap into the full strength of God. Brené says, you're only as sick as your secrets. Shame thrives in darkness. Shame actually derives its power from being unspeakable, meaning that when we don't speak the things that we feel like make us shameful, it actually has more power over us. Shame thrives in being unspeakable. Shame hates having words wrapped around a bit. But listen to this. If we speak shame, it begins to wither. If we start calling out the things that make us vulnerable, that make us weak, it actually begins to wither. Shame is destroyed. Vulnerability is speaking shame into the light. It's bringing forth the things that were in darkness and bringing it to light. Those thoughts, those feelings, those beliefs that say, I am not blank enough. This is why Paul tells the church to confess to one another. Our title verse, Paul says, confess your sins. And some of y'all saying, these aren't really sins, are they? Well, sin isn't just an action. Sin can be the choice to believe in a lie. And that's actually the opposite of faith. And so when Paul says, confess your sins to one another, it doesn't just mean when I you know, masturbated or when I stole or when I got caught doing this. It doesn't just mean actions. It could also mean thought patterns. It could mean belief systems that I've adopted that are far from the belief system of God. Paul's saying, confess your sins to one another so that you will be whole and healed. Listen, there is a healing that can only come in community. You know, I'm the type that tries to deal with everything myself, but there's a type of healing. There's a type of wholeness. There's an expression of healing that only comes in community, and vulnerability is the key. You see, Brené Brown found in her research that if we're able to be vulnerable with people, if we're able to share the weaknesses of our hearts, that we could find our way back from shame and find genuine connection and belonging. I've illustrated this in another slide. You see, Vulnerability destroys shame. When we're able to be vulnerable with one another, it actually destroys the grip of shame and we're able to find family. Now, the question is this: how do we be vulnerable? Because you're hearing this and you're probably thinking, this is all good stuff, but what does this look like lived out? The first thing is this. In Brené Brown's study, she found a key difference between those who are able to be vulnerable and those who are able not, or those who couldn't be vulnerable. So she found a key difference between the participants who are able to be vulnerable and those who could not. And what she found was this. Those who are able to be vulnerable had this one X factor, and it's this. It's a sense of worthiness. Follow me. You are worthy of love. This idea that you are worthy of love, that I am worthy enough, that you are worthy enough to belong to a family. This idea that every human being is worthy of love. No one is disqualified from love because of what they did. And we see this in the Bible in John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son. God saw an unredeemed, imperfect, broken world, and he himself deemed it worthy of love. So much so that he would send his son to die. If a perfect God can see an unredeemed world and deem it worthy of love, then certainly we can learn to love ourselves and love the people around us. If a perfect God saw the world and say it's worthy of love, then we ourselves could look at ourselves and see each other and say that we and others are worthy of love. This was the X factor. The key to being vulnerable is founded on this foundation that you are worthy of love. That you are worthy of love. You see, a sense of worthiness inspires us to be vulnerable. Why? Because I know my weaknesses don't define my worth. Listen, when you live like your weaknesses define your worth, shame has a grip on you. But when you know that regardless of my weaknesses, regardless of if I do this or that, if I succeed or fail, if I do well or do horribly, if you know that you are still worthy of love regardless of that, then you're able to be vulnerable. You see, shame convinces us to connect our self-worth to what we produce or the way that we behave. The courage to be vulnerable requires worthiness. And this is the truth. When our self-worth is on the line, then we're afraid to be vulnerable. But when our self-worth isn't on the line, when it's off the table, we're able to be more courageous, more open, and more vulnerable with one another. We're able to establish real, meaningful, deep connection. I want to talk about this word, courage. The title of today's message is Courage to be Seen. And there's something powerful about this word, courage. See, courage comes from the root word, cur. And what it means in Latin, it means heart. And actually, the original meaning, the original definition of courage meant telling your story with your whole heart. It means not withholding any part of your story, but telling all of your story with your whole heart. This is what vulnerability is. It's having the courage to tell your whole story with your whole heart, even the ugly parts of your story, even the ugly parts of your thought pattern, even the ugly parts of what you're feeling, even the ugly parts of your circumstances, even the ugly parts of your history and your past, is sharing it openly, wholeheartedly. That's courage and that's vulnerability, and that actually brings you to a deeper connection with family. Isn't that powerful? Telling your whole story with your whole heart. Listen, she says, if you can share your story with someone who responds with empathy, shame cannot survive. The problem is we've shared our story with some people and they haven't responded with empathy. We've been in situations where people saw the weaknesses in us and they actually rejected us. But when you're able to come into a place where people respond with empathy, I see you, I hear you, I understand you. I might not have gone through what you've gone through, but I acknowledge that you're hurting right now and I'm here with you. Shame cannot survive. Listen, church, I want to tell you something. There's nothing that you have done. There's nothing that you've thought. There's nothing that you've believed that makes you unworthy to be here. There's nothing that you've done that makes you unworthy to belong to this family. You know, Wednesday night was one of my favorite worship nights because we had the opportunity to open up the floor for anyone who felt like they were struggling. And there was two people that shared. And I was so inspired by their courage to share. It takes so much courage. I would say it takes more courage to share openly about your weaknesses than it does to actually evangelize. I think it takes more courage to share about your weaknesses and your shortcomings than it does to get in front of thousands of people and prophesy or pray. I believe this is one of the greatest signs of courage when you're able to share your whole story with your whole heart. And as these two people shared in our small group, everyone just responded with empathy. Everyone responded, I hear you, I feel your pain, I'm with you. And we're able to just pray into them, give them strength, and speak the words of the Lord to them. And I just felt a closeness that night. Listen, there's something powerful that happens when you share your whole story. You see, vulnerability begets vulnerability. Courage is contagious. I'll give you a great example. When we were in college, it was nearing the end of my college career, my horrible college career. And we're part of a ministry, and I had been known in my ministry as kind of like a jokester, like a fun guy. There's this other girl, her name was Jen, and she was also known as like this crazy, they called her the female version of Christopher Huang, you know? And so I remember during this retreat, we had this church retreat. You know, every church retreat, you get your groups, and then you make a skit to show everyone. I remember my group got paired up with Jen's group, and so expectations were high. You know, people were like, this is going to be like the funniest, craziest skit. And I remember I was talking to Jen. And I was like, dude, what should we do? And we just felt like there was a rhema moment there where we just felt there was a presence of God just so present in that conversation. We're like, you know, we shouldn't be funny. Actually, what we should do, we should have everyone just get a giant cardboard piece of paper and write their deepest, darkest sin that they'd never shared with anyone and just hold it up. And so we had our whole group, I think there was 16 of us, just write down on their cardboard paper the deepest struggle that they had, the deepest sin that they've never shared with anyone or they've shared with a few. And I remember we decided to do this, and our group didn't have much confidence in this. They're like, what are you doing? Like, can we just do a funny, lighthearted skit? But we just felt like there was a Lord in this. And so we all wrote down on our sign. I remember during that time, one thing I was deeply struggling with that I was so ashamed of was pornography. And so I remember I wrote pornography on there. And I remember there was another person that had that same struggle. He came up to me. He said, "Mickey, I just can't do it. Like, I can't write that on here. Like, I can't show everyone what my weakness is." And I remember just saying, "Listen, when we're vulnerable, I promise you it's going to open up the atmosphere. There's going to be a new level of healing and wholeness for you." And so the whole time he was just walking back and forth. He was wrestling with it. But time finally came, and all these groups did amazing skits. They're hilarious. And then our group, we asked if we could go last. And so what we did is we surrounded the whole room, like in a circle, and all of us had our signs. And just one by one, people just started putting up their signs. "I struggle with pornography. You know, I struggle with body image. I struggle with loneliness. I struggle with suicide, with depression." And I remember the atmosphere was just so ripe. I remember people were watching these signs go up, and some people were bursting into tears. I remember some people were just worshiping. And I remember afterwards, it was so powerful. After we did that skit, we went into a ministry time, and people began coming forth and then sharing with our group and with the pastors their own struggles. See, vulnerability begets vulnerability. Courage is contagious. When one person is able to be vulnerable, when a few are able to be vulnerable, it actually spreads like wildfire. There's like a courage that rises up on the inside of a community when someone is vulnerable. I remember when the two people shared in our Wednesday night group, I remember I was just so inspired. I was like, I want to share my weaknesses. I want to share my vulnerabilities. There's something about when someone shares, when someone has the courage to share, that it is contagious. Now, I do want to share this disclaimer. Trust must be earned. And so you don't just go up to anyone on the street and say, "Bruh, I'm struggling with this. This is my deepest, darkest secret." You don't just share anything with anyone. Trust must be earned. But at the same time, you can't earn trust until you begin to be vulnerable. And so it's a very fine line that you have to walk. But I want to tell you that this here today is a safe space. The church is a safe space. What are we going after here? When people are able to be vulnerable and overcome shame, authenticity is produced. And this is the last slide I want to share. This is the definition of authenticity. Authenticity is letting go of who I think I should be in order to be who I really am. And I don't know about you, but this resonates with my heart. Because how many guys in some areas of your life feel like, "I should be this person," and you're afraid to actually be who you really are? What are we talking about here? What we're talking about, vulnerability, shame. What's this all leading up to? It's leading to authenticity. It's leading to being able for you to be comfortable enough to be fully yourself. Because how many guys know that this world doesn't need another Pastor Benjamin? This world doesn't need another Pastor Mickey. Hallelujah. This world needs you to be fully you. The Bible says when the sons of God are fully realized in their glory, then the world will know. This is what we're talking about here, is that you become fully you. And this is the kind of family that I want to create, where when you come into this family, when you come here to sons and daughters, you could let go of who you think you should be, and you could be free to be yourself. You could be free to be all that you are. See, the same thing that makes us vulnerable makes us beautiful. And I want to tell you, the same thing that makes you vulnerable makes you beautiful. So this is my challenge to you today. And I'm not going to make you participate in this. But this is my challenge to you today. I want us to practice vulnerability with one another. Now, the question that you can ask is there any part of your life that you feel like disqualifies you from love? Not meaning that if people knew this about me, they'd just kick me out of the door. No, I mean, if people knew this about me, would they love me just an inch less? Or if people knew this about me, would they look down on me just a little more? Is there anything in your life that you feel like disqualifies you from full love? That's shame. And I believe God wants to break it today. See, vulnerability is the willingness to show up and be seen. And I believe that God is calling, he's challenging some of you today to show up and to really be seen. And so this is what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to invite you into a time, and we're going to play some music. We're going to dim the lights. I'm going to invite you into a time where you can actually respond to this message. And I want you to know there's no pressure. If you don't feel like you have that courage quite yet, or if there's actually nothing that you could think of, like this message just totally went over your head and there's nothing that you're convicted of in your heart that you need to share or confess to one another, then that's fine. But for those of you that are hearing this and you feel like, I want that freedom. I want to feel that full sense of belonging. Then I challenge you to share whatever it is. It could be something you've done. It could be something that you think of yourself. It could be something that you believe. But I want you to share it with someone here in this room. And I want guys to go to guys and girls to go to girls. I want you to share with someone. And you as the listener, as someone sharing, I want you, after they've shared everything, I want you to say this. I know it might sound robotic, but I want you to say, I see you, I hear you, I understand you. You're still worthy of love. I want you to share that, okay? And then I want you to pray for that person and just prophesy life over them. And if you don't know what prophesy life over them means, just pray a blessing over them. Just pray God's love over them. I want you to do that in a minute. But before that, vulnerability begets vulnerability. I want to share with you, as I've been researching this and studying this and praying through this, there's a lot of things that God actually surfaced in my own heart. And there's one that I just felt like God was asking me to confess today. And it's my vulnerability, it's my weakness, and I hope that it opens the atmosphere for you to be able to share with one another. If you don't want to share and participate in this, there's no shame, there's no judgment, that's fine. You could just sit and just meditate on what God is trying to say to you in this moment. We're just going to do this for about 5 to 7 minutes. But I'm going to share, and then we're going to turn on the music, dim the lights, and then I want you to participate in being vulnerable with one another. Remember, courage is sharing your whole story with your whole heart. And so whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that you feel makes you unworthy of love, that's what you're called to share today. But this is the confession that I have in response to this message. This is the vulnerability that I'm sharing with you. I confess that I often feel inadequate to lead you. And as a leader, that's actually something really hard to share because you actually want to instill confidence. You know, you want to show that you're confident, but I want to share with you as your leader that oftentimes I feel very inadequate. I feel very ill-equipped to lead you. In fact, there's moments when some of you come up to Krista and I, especially those of you who are older, and when you share that, you know, I'm with you. Whatever you say, I'll do. I trust in you completely. That scares the crap out of me. Because it makes me think, who am I? You know, you have so much more wisdom, so much more experience. Some of you guys are so much more successful than I am. And this is my confession that oftentimes I feel completely inadequate to lead you. And sometimes I worry if I'd be able to lead you well. Yeah, because honestly, when I look at you guys, I think you guys deserve the best leader in the world. I think you deserve the best pastor. And sometimes I feel like I'm not that. But I know that the truth of God is that is not true. That God has appointed Krista and I, and it doesn't matter whether we live up or not. It's the anointing of God that's actually going to sustain our leadership. But I do want to share with you that is something that I do struggle with. And as your leader, I want you to know that. But I want you to know this. I want you to know that you'll have a leader that will be honest. I want you to know that I will always be honest. I'm not gonna pretend to know what I'm doing when I'm not. There's sometimes I have no idea what I'm doing, but I want you to know that my heart is completely invested in you. My heart is completely invested in you. And if I don't know what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go on my knees and I'm gonna find out what the answer is to help. And so I want you to know that as a leader, that oftentimes I struggle with that. But I know the truth. And right now, as I'm looking at your eyes, I just feel the empathy. I feel like, I don't feel like you're rejecting me right now. I actually feel like you're embracing me even closer as a leader. And this is the power of vulnerability. And so if we could turn down the lights a little bit and turn up the music, I want you to take the next 7 minutes, and I just want you to find someone, and I want you to practice this message. Confess your sins to one another. Listen, for some of you, it might be that I just don't feel pretty enough. I'm in a workplace where everyone values beauty. For some of you, it might be, I'm not at the stage of life I thought I would be at my age. I thought I would be this. I thought I would be doing this. And I feel shame about that. For some of you, it might be, I've been struggling with pornography for years. And I've never told anyone because I felt like people wouldn't think that I'm a good Christian or that I belong here. Listen, whatever it is, I want you to find someone. And I want you to have the courage to share. And I want you to know that it's strength. What makes you vulnerable makes you beautiful. And I believe today God is just going to tighten our family and bring us closer together.